نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، from the teachings of our beloved Nabi صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم is to perform 2 rak'at salat before departing on a journey. And our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has said that these 2 rak'at will safeguard the traveler against all unpleasant things associated with traveling. Similarly, in another hadith, our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam mentions that a person cannot leave a better substitute for his family than the 2 rak'ats of salah that he performs before departing. So we understand from the teachings of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam that one should perform 2 rak'at nafla salat as long as it is not makruh time, because it is not permissible to perform nafla salah during makruh times. So if the time is not makruh for salat, then a person should perform 2 rak'at nafla salat before traveling. And in one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has said that these 2 rak'at will grant protection to a person whilst he is traveling. And in another hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that these 2 rak'ats will give protection to his family whilst he is away from the family. Such beautiful teachings of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Very simple, very short, and very enjoyable, because a mu'min, a believer, will enjoy salat. So a person is to perform 2 rak'at salat before traveling, and it will guarantee him protection during the journey until he returns, and it will guarantee his family protection whilst he is away. Whenever a person travels, these are the only 2 things that bother him. What will happen to me during the journey? What if something happens to me during the journey? What if I become ill? What if I am robbed? What if I am oppressed? What if I face difficulties? What if something happens to my car? What if something happens to my means of conveyance? What if my ticket is cancelled? If my reservation is cancelled? And his desire is that I travel safely and return safely. And the other concern is that in my absence, what will happen to my family? What will happen to my work? What will happen to my factory? What will happen to my shop? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has taught us a very simple, very easy, and very enjoyable task. That if you perform 2 rak'at salat, and in the 1st rak'at recite Qul ya ayyuhal kafirun, in the 2nd rak'at Surah Qul huwallahu ahad. And if you are unable to recite Surah Qul ya ayyuhal kafirun, or Surah Qul Huwallahu Ahad, then any portion of the Quran will suffice. So two short rakats. It will not take more than 3 minutes, 4 minutes. So easy, simple. Simple, every believer knows how to perform salat. So simple to do and very easy as well. It's not burdensome. And it's enjoyable as well. Every mu'min enjoys salat. And if a mu'min feels that I don't enjoy salat, then it is because his iman is weak. It is because he is spiritually unwell, spiritually sick. And a person who is sick, even in physical form, if a person is unwell, if a person is feeling nausea, he will not be able to enjoy food. If a person is suffering from fever, he will not be able to enjoy food. If a person is suffering from indigestion, he will not be able to enjoy food. So spiritually also, if we are unwell, if we are sick, as a result of our disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a result of our not safeguarding our gazes from unlawful things, our not safeguarding our ears from unlawful things, our not safeguarding our tongues from unlawful things, our not safeguarding our bodies from unlawful food. So unlawful food, unlawful actions, unlawful speech, unlawful gaze. So we become sick. And when we become spiritually sick, then we cannot enjoy spiritual foods. So salat is spiritual food, dhikr is spiritual food, and tilawat is spiritual food, istighfar is spiritual food. We will not enjoy spiritual foods. So the task given to us for our protection during the journey and for the protection of our families during the journey, those who we leave behind, is easy, is simple, and it is enjoyable. All the teachings of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam are enjoyable. Even if physically they are difficult, they are enjoyable. During the time of Hajj, when hundreds of thousands of people come to perform Hajj, tawaf is difficult, but it is enjoyable. Going to Mina, going to Arafat, coming back to Muzdalifah, then again to Mina, and then Rami. All these tasks are difficult. Difficult because of the number of people that are there. It's easy and simple, but because of the number of people there. People enjoy. People enjoy. And people enjoy to such an extent that it is their desire to remain engaged in a particular amal for as long as possible. For as long as possible. My late Shaykh Rahimahullah Ta'ala mentions that during the time of Hajj, I went to pelt the Jamarat. I went to do Rami. I went to pelt the Jamarat. And on the second day and on the third day, a Haji will pelt all three Jamarat. And it is mustahab to make dua facing the Qibla after pelting the first jamara and the second jamara, the small jamara and the middle jamara. And my Shaykh Rahimahullah Ta'ala himself was a very pious person, a very great alim and a very pious person. When he would supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he would supplicate for a very long time. Nowadays, we come to the masjid, we find it very difficult to come to the masjid. That's point number one. During this lockdown, I am judge and jury for myself and every individual who is listening to me, who will listen to me later on, is judge and jury for himself. Those people who do not perform salat at all, for them there is no difference, because they do not perform salat. But those people who perform salat and they come to the masjid regularly, we are judge and jury for ourselves. The masajid have been closed. No congregational prayer is taking place for the past 10 weeks or so. Let us look deep down in our hearts and ask one question. Do we find any grief in our hearts for not being able to go to the masjid and perform salat with congregation? Or is it that we found ourselves in those circumstances which our nafs was looking for? We are feeling happy about it that the 5-time salat has become very convenient, perform salat at home. And because we are compelled not to go to the masjid due to the lockdown, we will acquire the same reward that we would have acquired if we had gone to the masjid. Is there any grief in our hearts? Do we feel hurt? And if we felt hurt on the first day or the second day or the third day, did this hurt and grief increase or decrease over the days? When we are away from the family, the first day it is hurting, the second day it is hurting, the third day it is hurting, and we know that we are going to return after 2 weeks. The more the time lapses, the more we miss our families, the more the pain, the more the hurt. Is it the same case with our 5-time salat with congregation? Do we find that hurt and that grief in our hearts? And let's put the 5-time salat with congregation on one side. How much are we remembering the masajid? How many of us are keen that I want to go into the masjid, into the house of Allah and spend some time in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How many of us are keen? How many of us are desperate? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all complete attachment to himself, to his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to the deen that he has sent in this world. Imam Awza'i rahimahullah ta'ala, a great muhaddis, a great faqih, the likes of Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah ta'ala and Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala, they were his students. Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah ta'ala, a very great muhaddis and faqih, Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala, Imam Dari al-Hijrah. And when Imam Awza'i rahimahullah ta'ala, Allama Ibn Kathir rahimahullah ta'ala writes in Al-Bidayah wa Al-Nihayah, that when Imam Awza'i rahimahullah ta'ala came to perform Hajj, he was sat on a camel, and Sufyan al-Thawri rahmatullahi alayhi was holding the reins of his camel and walking at the front, and Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi was walking behind the camel. Imagine the status of Imam Awza'i rahimahullah ta'ala. And because I'm going to quote Imam Awza'i rahimahullah ta'ala, so before quoting Imam Awza'i rahimahullah ta'ala, let me mention this to you. That those people who had seen Imam Awza'i rahimahullah ta'ala, they have said that those people sitting in the majlis of Imam Awza'i rahimahullah ta'ala, if Imam Awza'i rahimahullah ta'ala uttered a word, it was definite that they would note it down. Why? Because of the preciousness of whatever he spoke. Rare words of wisdom emanating from his tongue. Pearls always emanating from his tongue. He would not speak without necessity. But whenever he spoke, then everybody knew that every student of deen, every alim, every faqih, every muhaddis who is sitting in that majlis will be compelled to write down whatever he is saying. Min husne kalamihi. Because of the beauty of his words. Great Imam, Imam Awza'i rahimahullah ta'ala. What does Imam Awza'i rahimahullah ta'ala say? He says, that a time will come upon people when three things will become the most scarce, most rare. During that time, a time will come upon people when other things will be scarce also. Other things will be rare also. But the most rare and most scarce will be three things. Number one, a friend who is sympathetic and who has feeling for you. That will be very rare. Let us look around us. We have dozens of friends. But how many friends are sympathetic? How many friends genuinely feel for you? We will only know where we are in need of a friend. When we need a friend, then only we will know whether we have a sympathetic friend or not, whether we have a friend who has feeling for us or not. Majority of the friends that we have around us, they are nothing more than lip service. Today we have friends of convenience. I am his friend because it is convenient to me, and he is my friend because it is convenient for him. It is for this reason we will see that our friends keep changing. Today this is my friend. Tomorrow, that is my friend. Our friends keep changing. During the period of Jahiliyyah, when the idolaters worshipped stones, when they would travel, they would take that stone with them in the bag so that they could worship that stone during the journey also. And if they during the journey found a more better looking stone, they would throw the old one and take the new one. This is exactly our behavior as far as friendship is concerned. So much so that if we feel that this particular person is more enjoyable and more convenient for me than my father, then we will show more interest in the friend than the father. We will show more interest in the friend than our brother. Friendship is not for friendship in this day and age. Friendship is for convenience. Friendship is so that we are able to fulfill our desires, our goals, our objectives. So that life can become easy for us. Friendship is for enjoyment. Today we enjoy this person, so we are his friend. And tomorrow we enjoy somebody else's company, so we become his friend. Friendship for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am his friend for Allah's pleasure. Friendship as a result of taqwa. That I love this person, I like this person, I want to see his progress. I want to see good for him from all aspects only because I love him for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the real friendship. And this friendship will remain in this world, and this friendship will become handy at the time of death. This friendship will become handy in the grave. This friendship will become handy on the day of Qiyamah also. This friendship will become handy in this world. Allah is eternal. Allah will always remain. So anything for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always remain also. So if the friendship breaks, either from both sides or from one side, that is a sign that this friendship was not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If friendship breaks from both sides, both were not sincere. And if friendship breaks from one side, one was not sincere. Friendship for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remain until the final moment in this world also. So this, a person will benefit from this friendship in this world also. Because it will remain. And it can only remain if they support each other, if they help each other. And this friendship will come handy at the time of death. Because if one is dying, the other will pray for him sincerely. It will come in handy in the grave also. Because if one dies, the one who is left behind will pray for him. Will look after his family. Because the friendship was for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even in the hereafter. رَجُلَانِ تَحَبَّ فِي اللَّهِ اجْتَمَعَ عَلَيْهِ وَتَفَرَّقَ عَلَيْهِ. Those two men or those two people who loved each other only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will be granted shade under the shade of the throne or the shade of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When there will be no shade except that shade. And if a person is given shade under the shade of the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is a sign that the reckoning will be easy and the bridge of Sirat will be easy. And entry into Jannah without having to go in the fire of Jahannam is guaranteed. So number one, Imam Awza'i rahimahullah ta'ala says that a time will come when the most scarce, most rare items will be number one, a friend who is sympathetic, a friend who has genuine love for you, a friend who is sincere, a friend who will grieve upon your dire circumstances, who will want to support you and help you. Those who hang around with each other for ulterior motives, you will find millions of them. Only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who will grieve for you, who will be sympathetic towards you. In thick and thin, who will remain with you. That is number one. Number two, from amongst the most scarce things, most rare things, the second thing is halal wealth. Halal wealth. There are so many people in the world who are earning wealth through haram means. There are many and they are not bothered. There are many who are earning halal, haram wealth. There is a group that is earning haram wealth and they are not bothered. Muslims I'm talking about. There is another group who are earning haram wealth or a doubtful wealth, but they somehow try to console and comfort themselves. No, 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 it is okay. No, it is, it must be, it is okay. It's halal. It's halal. And if such a person is asked to refer to a mufti, he will not. Because he is afraid. There are people who earn halal wealth, who want to earn halal wealth, but from the 6 fatwas, if 5 fatwas are saying that it is not permissible, they will opt for the 6th fatwa. They will always look for remote fatwas. Fatwas to
to somehow support themselves to fulfill their whims and desires. There is a very big percentage of the so-called Muslim in this day and age who want to remain good Muslims, who want to remain religious, who want to be acknowledged as religious people, but they always look for the easiest option when it comes to deen. When it comes to deen, look for the easiest option, where there is no hardship, where there is no inconvenience. But deen is full of mujahada. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُولَنَا. Those people who give sacrifice for our pleasure. لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُولَنَا. We will definitely guide them upon those paths that will lead them to Jannah and our pleasure. And this very mujahada, which seems difficult, becomes very easy. Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Inna deena yusrun. Deen is easy. Yuridullahu bikumul yusra. Allah desires ease with you. So if deen is mujahada and on the other side it is easy, there is a contradiction. No, deen is mujahada means it seems that it is difficult. But when a person embarks on that journey of carrying out that particular amal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps him and makes it easy for him. So, friends, my brothers, my sisters, let us check each and every penny, each and every penny that is coming into our home, whether it is halal, whether it is haram, whether it is halal, whether it is haram. And we should close our doors for haram. Any type of haram will not enter our houses, whether it is rizq or anything else. No haram speech. No haram gaze, no haram action, no haram wealth, no haram food, no haram clothing, no haram item will come into our houses. And anything that comes into our houses, which we can use for halal things and haram things, we will only use it for halal things and not haram things. For example, a mobile, computer. We can use it for good things, we can use it for bad things. We will only use it for halal things. May Allah grant us all the tawfiq. And Imam Awza'i rahimahullah ta'ala said, the third thing, which will be the most scarce when that time comes, will be ittiba'u sunnah. Following the sunnah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the main thing. Because the first two things are also including in the Ittiba'u Sunnah. Ittiba'u Sunnah. Muslims will slowly drift away from the path of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First, the mustahabbat will become the victims. Then the sunan will become the victims. Then sunan Muakkada will become the victims. Then Wajibat will become the victims and then the Faraid will become the victims. And when A'mal remain no more, then Iman will become the victim. May Allah safeguard all of us. Ittiba'u Sunnah. Whenever deciding on any matter, each person should reflect and ask himself, herself, that which path is the closest to the teachings of my beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I have this option, I have this option. Which option will make my creator more happy? Which option will make my beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more happy? In anything. Even if you have two lawful options, this is also lawful, this is also lawful. Ask yourself, what will make my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more happy? What will make my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more happy? So I was saying that ittiba'us sunnah will become very, very rare according to Imam Uzayr rahimahullah ta'ala. And I personally feel that the time Sufyan ibn Imam Uzayr rahimahullah ta'ala was talking about is the time we are passing through. Because it's very, very difficult to find a sympathetic friend, a genuine friend who has feeling for you. Ask everybody when hard time comes, what has happened in your life. Number two, rizq halal. There are so many people who feel and who believe that my rizq is halal. But if they were to sit down with the muftis, with the ulama, they would come to this conclusion that my rizq is not halal. And people are not concerned. That is why you will seldom find a person who will say that before I embark on any new job or any new venture, business, shop, anything, I always consult the muftis. No. We are always afraid of asking muftis in those matters where we know that our nafs is not prepared to accept a negative answer. And number three, ittiba'u sunnah. In our day-to-day lives, where is ittiba'u sunnah? When it comes to faraid, wajibat and haram, what percentage of Muslims are following the path of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Faraid, wajibat and haram, what percentage? And then when, if we go to mustahabbat and if we go to sunan, the percentage will decrease. Those people who do not follow the sunnah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam feel that they have the upper hand. And those people who follow the ways of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they feel embarrassed amongst their friend circles and amongst their family members. They are made to feel that you are doing wrong. Those people who do right are made to feel that they are doing wrong. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us. And these are the signs of Qiyamah. That right will be seen as wrong, wrong will be seen as right. First, people will discard right and carry out wrong. They will know that this is right and this is wrong. But they will choose to practice what is wrong and stay away from what is right. Why? To fulfill their whims and desires. Then a second time will come, and another phase will come when people will take right as wrong and wrong as right. So right becomes wrong and wrong becomes right. Those following right will be seen as guilty people, and those following wrong will be seen as good people. And thereafter another time will come, which remotely we are seeing now, and it will increase, that people will enjoin wrong and prevent from good. Amra bil maruf will go away and people will make amra bil munkar. And nahi anil munkar will be substituted by nahi anil maruf. Each person will encourage one person will encourage the other that no, do this, don't do that, do this, don't do that. So I was saying that deen is easy, deen is simple, deen is enjoyable, and our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has given us this beautiful deen. Let us connect ourselves to every part of deen. Let us bring deen in our whole lives. When we are in the masjid, deen should be with us. When we are in the marketplaces, deen should be with us. When we are at home, deen should be with us. In our transactions, in our dealings, deen should be with us. In our social lives, deen should be with us. In our private lives, deen should be with us. In our public lives, deen should be with us. In our deeni matters, deen should be with us. In our dunyavi matters, deen should be with us. Our behavior, our thinking, our focus should be deen, 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 deen. And our deen discusses every aspect of a human's life. So a person should not think that if deen, 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 then where is dunya? No, we should think about deen in our dunyavi matters also. Imam Muhammad rahimahullahu ta'ala wrote a book, Kitabul Buyu. A book on trading, the masail of trading. Voluminous work. It wasn't a small booklet. So somebody said to him that you have not written anything on zuhd, on deen. You have not written anything about deeni matters. So he said, yes, I have. I have written Kitabul Buyu, the book on business. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi discusses business, trading. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi discusses marriage. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi discusses divorce. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi discusses how one should behave with the other on a day-to-day matter in day-to-day life. And not only Imam Bukhari, Imam Muslim, Imam Tirmizi, all of them discuss. From birth, from the cradle to the grave. The world discusses only from cradle to the grave. And our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam discusses from cradle to the grave. And before the cradle and after the grave. Before the cradle, right from the time of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. And after the grave, what will happen in the grave? What will happen on the day of Qiyamah? It guides us how to save yourself from the horrors of grief and horrors of the day of Qiyamah. And how to make yourself comfortable. And the whole world is thinking about comfort of this world only. About the grave also, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches. How to make the grave comfortable, how to make the hereafter comfortable. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. Let us attach ourselves to deen, to the beautiful teachings of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us all steadfast on deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to learn deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to sit in the company of the ulama. And in regard to deen, may Allah give us this understanding that the ulama are the authorities in regards to deen. So anything related to deen, we should refer to the ulama and have trust in them, have confidence in them and follow the guidance. May Allah give us this tawfiq. The ulama, the ummah has taken ulama only so that, only for them to lead the salat, lead the taraweeh. Perform the nikah, perform salatul janazah, bury the deceased, and when required, use them for blessings. When it comes to decision making, ulama have no say. And if the ulama do say something, then they are not listened to. May Allah give us all the tawfiq to refer to the experts, refer to the authorities, refer to the ulama. Well-versed ulama in the field of Quran, in the field of Hadith, in the field of Fiqh. And may Allah give us the tawfiq to lend our ears to what the ulama are saying. Because whether we listen to them or not, a day is going to come when we will have to stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a chairman will not be chairman there, secretary will not be secretary there. Professor will not be professor there. Doctor will not be doctor there. We will all become ordinary people. And Allah will question us for everything that we have done in this world. Whatever we are doing in this world will not go to vain. If we do any good, Allah will reward us in the hereafter. If we do any bad, Allah will punish us in the hereafter. Any step we take, anything we do, anything we say, we must always think first. Is this in line with my Creator's wish? And if I am not aware of what my Creator wishes, what my Creator desires from me because I lack knowledge, then let me go and ask somebody who has the knowledge. I am also a student of Deen. I also refer to knowledgeable people. I also refer to the Muftis. I also refer to the Ulama. I ask them for guidance also. And I follow the guidance of the Muftis and the Ulama. Because the ultimate objective is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not to fulfill our whims and desires. Not to fear anybody. What will people say? What will my father say? What will my mother say? What will my friends say? What will my associates say? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. So, the theme today was hold fast to the sunnah. Hold fast to the teachings of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is always barakah in whatever our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us. May Allah give us all the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. So we have to hold fast to the teachings of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number two, we should continually study his seerah. And we should sit in the company of the ulama and under their guidance, read good books written by good ulama. And number three, we should send durood in abundance upon our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every day, at least every mu'min should read 300 times Salat ala Nabi. And every Friday, this quantity should increase to at least 500. Let us target for 500. And those of us who are able to do 1000 or more, alhamdulillah, more the better. And after this majlis every Friday, inshallah, I will try to say a few words in the English language until the lockdown is in process. So every Thursday evening, Friday night after Maghrib Salat, pass on the words to other people also. And inshallah, after this gathering at the academy, the normal practice is that we spend about 15 minutes reciting Durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You may also try to do the same. Jazakumullahu khair.